And welcome to TLF Gems, a podcast about customer experience and insight from TLF Research. I'm Stephen Hampshire.
And I'm Greg Roche.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about one of your webinars, Greg. So it was about sampling in business-to-business research, but and with a bit of a focus on battling falling response rates.
Very much so. I think it was more about how do we improve response rates from falling response rates to get the debate going off.
Well, let's pick up on that, actually. So we won't start where you started the webinar, but let's start with what's happening to response rates in B2B markets, because it is something we see sort of slightly conflicting evidence on, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We are seeing some clients having falling response rates, and we're seeing some clients not have falling response rates. In fact, we're seeing some having increasing response rates. I would say the general picture is response rates are falling, and I would have lots of conversations, as I'm sure you do, with clients about survey fatigue. No, not another survey. And you know, you can't go onto a web page without a little box popping up saying, please rate us, please rate us, please rate us. And yeah, I think the message that I was trying to sort of encourage via the webinar was, yes, customers are absolutely fed up of giving feedback that makes no difference to their customer experience. But customers are not fed up of giving feedback that genuinely makes a difference to their customer experience. And that is a big, big difference. Any customer, particularly in the sort of the B2B world, who say, look, if you give me 10 minutes of your time, I will listen, I will do stuff, I will tell you what I've done, I will make the customer experience better for you, is going to say, yes, I will take part in that. And there's lots of reasons why that doesn't happen, even that whole conversation, and we can get into methodologies in a bit. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, people ask us about response rates, shall we have incentives, shall we have anonymity or not have anonymity, and what's the bit, how do we introduce the survey, do we have a prize draw? There's so many different things there. And over the years, the people who have the best response rates, the highest response rates, and where response rates go up is where they do a survey, they say thanks for taking part. And I challenged at the beginning of the webinar saying, well, as a result of your last survey, have you said thank you to your customers for taking part, and have you told them what you're going to do as a result of it? Because I think if you can't say yes to both those, yes, I've thanked them, and yes, I've told them what I'm going to do as a result of it, your response rate shouldn't be going up. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Well, I totally agree. As you know, the concept of survey fatigue irritates me in general, but I think it's particularly irritating in B2B, funnily enough, because genuinely, you know, if I'm a bank customer, and I go visit my bank's website and a pop-up pops up, no, I'm not expecting them to, I don't think I matter to them, and or at least I might matter as one of
many millions,
6 million customers. So I'm a drop in the ocean. But in B2B, genuinely, in every one of my clients, every customer matters to two different degrees, but they all matter. And it strikes me as really just such a missed open goal if you're not having a conversation with customers about how they feel about your experience and whether what you've done with the research.
I think it's probably a failure on the research side, because if I think of when we go and present results back into our B2B clients, it's often the main board. You know, the results are taken at the highest level and are treated with a very high degree of seriousness. And because people, as you're saying, understand how much a customer's worth and understand that the view of Mr. A and Miss B, you really matter at that customer, because they are 40% of our turnover. So I think in many ways, B2B get the value of customers much more, but that hasn't worked its way through into the right, what's the best way of collecting this information and managing the survey process and the relationship. And I think back to the numerous times when I've had conversations with people saying, I've got this email survey, it'll take about 20 minutes, I'm going to send it out to people, you know, busy B2B customers, what response rate do you think I'm going to get? And I say, well, very little, I would think. You know, 20 minutes, a web survey, you know, how about positioning it as a telephone interview? Are you going to explain to them it's important? Are you going to explain what you do before? Are you going to explain what you do after? Are you going to make sure you ask the right questions? Are you going to filter it or route it so the questions are sensible for different people? Because obviously the relationships are different. There's the whole decision-making period and the whole decision-making unit, And who's experiencing what you're doing? You know, you can only ask about deliveries to someone who knows about deliveries. You can only ask about orders to someone who's placing orders. You can only ask about quarterly business reviews or the account managers for someone who's experiencing that. So it does need more thought about it to make it a relevant survey. And I've used the phrase in the webinar. You know, good research is about asking the right questions to the right people in the right way. The right questions to the right people in the right way.
The trap a little bit, I think, with B2B customer research is people approach it too much like B2C. They forget that the individual matters in a way that they don't in B2C. And therefore, what you end up with is customer surveys, which are it's a thing to generate a score that we do once a year, perhaps. But fundamentally, it's separate to account management.
Yeah,
and that's to me that's where the missed goal comes from. Really, you've got to tie customer experience research together with account management, and that can be a painful process because you know whether it's salespeople or account managers or relationship managers, you know whatever you call them, often when the survey is first introduced, they don't want it to tie in with what they're doing because that's stepping on their toes or that you know that's they might feel a bit judged or at risk or dot dot dot. There's all sorts of potential difficulties there, but I think overcoming that is the key really, because then once those things are bound up together, you don't need to worry about closing the loop with communication because it's your account managers are doing that. They're having that conversation monthly, quarterly, weekly, however often they're hopefully speaking to your customers. That's how could your customers not know that you're using what their feedback, if you are, if account managers are having those conversations?
Yeah, and the bit that we add and the bit that our whole sector adds is we just bring independence to it.
Yeah.
So there's a much higher chance that people will be honest. If you were my account manager, Stephen, even if you ask me the same questions, you know, I might not want to be honest because I've got to work with you going forward. So I don't want to criticize. Or alternatively, I might want to exaggerate some of those negatives because we're in a commercial relationship together. So an independent researcher just has a higher chance, particularly if anonymity is offered as well, of getting to the real feedback, let alone the way in which the questions are asked and they're in a balanced way and not in a leading way. And they're in a way that can drive action off the back of it. It really surprises me how, I think over the years, I've learned you can be really direct with questions like, you know, do you use a competitor of this company? Who is it? Where, you know, how much you spend with them? And it's amazing what people will tell you if they genuinely think it's going to help make the experience better for them. You know, is the level of spend going to go up or down? What would they have to do to make the level of spend go up? Right, they'd have to do X, Y, and Z. And you can really dive into some good depth and some good insightful understanding there, which really should be very, very actionable. So yeah, so I think there's a lot of things driving response rate, but I think a lot of it, and you summed it up really well there, is approaching it not as B2C research, approaching it as B2B, because it is different, because the sectors are very different, as you know, as well.
Yeah, I mean, we could sort of get a bit lost in the weeds, but we're treating B2B as one big sector, which it isn't really. There are important differences.
Yeah.
You know, if you were looking at construction or IT services or dot 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 whatever.
Yeah.
There are differences, but you know, I think there are things that are generalizably true and some of those are, you know, the importance of understanding the complexity of relationships. You've got these relationships going on at different levels and you need to manage and understand all of those. To again, for me, customer insight is all about understanding how customers make decisions.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
You know, we want to know why customers are going to stay with us or why they're going to leave. And why do we want to know that? So that we can get them to stay and not leave. It's none of this is rocket science, but the detail of understanding why you're doing that, then I think clarifies and opens up new ways of thinking about how you use your customer insight. It's not just getting an NPS score. It's understanding customer decision making so that you can build stronger relationships and hopefully help them to make more of the kind of decisions you want them to make.
Absolutely. And that's one of the key things, which we've talked about elsewhere as well, about there is an operational, there is a transactional side to it, which there needs to be feedback on, but much more B2B, particularly in the decision-making unit with influencers or senior managers. It's about the relationship. You know, do we live out our mission statement? Do we live out our company values? Do our company values match your company values? Do you see us as a strategic partner over the next 5 years? Level of business, is it going to go up? How do we compare to competitors? How do we add value? Are we a trusted supplier? How are you measuring us in terms of how are you judging us for trust? And it's much more probe, which again then lends itself to perhaps the sort of data collection methodology more of telephones or face-to-face interviews rather than self-completion, because it's the why did Stephen say that that's a really interesting bit that's going to add value to the action.
For sure.
I think as just my closing point, I think on the webinar, which was something that I wanted to make really quite strongly, was if you come from it, and I suppose we would come from it from this angle anyway, but doing a customer survey is a really good thing. It is a really good thing if it's done properly. And I think everyone sets out to do it properly and everyone has the right intention. Let's speak to customers. Let's get their feedback. Let's action things. Let's tell them what we've done. Let's change things. Let's make it better for them. And I sometimes think that that enthusiasm just isn't there. We don't, nearly a bit apologetic for we don't want to bother our customers too much, so we'll send them a web survey, or we don't really want to tell them we're doing a survey because they get a lot of communications offers anyway. And that just doesn't, it's a good thing, this, and customers will see it as a good thing if you follow through on all those things, which means you won't get survey fatigue. And I think sometimes it's just about being a bit bolder about we're doing this, this is the right way to do it, and let's shout about the fact we're doing it.
Couldn't agree more. I think one of my bugbears is the apologetic way in which people often approach doing customer research. And it's revealing, I think, that they know that they're not going to do anything with the results. So the problem here is not customers. The problem here is you. So if you're going to use that, if it's a good survey and it's going to give you useful feedback and you're going to use that feedback, yeah, you shouldn't be apologetic about it. You shouldn't be sorry about it. You should be proud to share that with customers. And as you're saying, they'll be quite happy to take part when they believe that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully you found the webinar quite interesting. It was really targeted at people on the B2B side. There was some stuff on sampling as well. There was some stuff on the different types of data collection methodology. And it all leads into making the survey very actionable.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is actually the key, isn't it? Because if you take action and customers see that action and you can link that action back to the survey, then your response rates are going to go up. Customers will be happy to take part.
It is, and it's. I've got loads of anecdotal stories where we've contacted customers for year 2, 3, 4, and they said, oh, great, I was waiting for your call. And there was one where I did the interview about 2 weeks ago, and the person said, do you know what? I'd just really like you to record that they listened last time. And they've done things since last time. And I went back and looked at the score that they'd given last time and the comments that they'd given last time. And it was completely different this time. And that customer had seen the total value of doing the survey and was waiting for the call and was gleefully and happy saying, do you know what? They've done stuff. They've really listened. It's great. Mm. And you start talking about advocates and loyal customers, and that's exactly where you're going with that. Exactly where you're going with that.
Yeah, and actually, that it's a really interesting point. I think one of the features of B2B is quite often detractors turn into promoters, in my experience, which is not something you really see in B2C. But I do think if customers have had that experience that they complained, not happy about this, this is rubbish, that's rubbish, and then our client jumps on that and reacts to it, you really can turn a customer around. And I've seen that again and again.
People don't want, or clients don't want, to be detractors. No. They are detractors for a reason. And even something like we do that whole hot alert process. If during the interview a client says some things or the certain criteria, and they're happy to sort of waiver their anonymity, so rather than waiting till the end of the survey and the results and the analysis, being able to say, hey, would you like us to go back to the client right now and explain to them that you weren't happy with X, Y, and Z? You know, we've both seen that turned around so many times. Because now they feel they're being listened to and they're talking to someone who can either solve the problem or explain it. And it's often that, and often B2B customers, or they're very realistic, because every B2B organization makes mistakes and operates it within a different world. And I find they're very understanding. And it's often more about the communication, how it was explained, the impact to it, or, you know, if I'd known earlier, we could have worked together to solve this. I wasn't told till last minute, and all that sort of good communication stuff, which is very, very sort of solvable.
Yeah, I think that's I feel like we're going off on a bit of a tangent now, but it is so often the case that whenever you talk to people in B2B relationships, they're not after perfection. They're after open channels of communication. I need to know. As soon as you know, I need to know, and then we can sort something out. That is almost always the PFI, isn't it?
It is, very much, because I'm not the end customer. I have someone else who has someone else who has someone else. There's a whole chain here. And, every bit of the chain, we want to be really, really efficient and really, really good.
Absolutely. Should we stop there before we go off on more tangents?
Yeah, I really enjoyed doing the webinar. And I think hopefully it's come across, just the enthusiasm from the two of us just in talking about it again, that it's something we believe, done in the right way, makes a real difference. And that's because when we see it done in the right way, it does make a real difference.
100%. Thank you very much for listening. If you're using iTunes, please subscribe, rate, and review us. And if you want to get in touch, you can find us on Twitter at TLF Research or at tlfresearch.com.
Good afternoon, everyone.